Some of you know, we're in the process of moving. So before y'all see it and start giggling, yes, I've got on white socks because I cannot find my black socks. So I want to, let's get that out of the way. Don't be staring at my feet now as I'm preaching this morning, okay? Look, I'm lucky I just found enough to put on today to get ready. I called my wife. I had like four different shades of gray on, and I got in this morning. I said, this ain't going to work. So I called my wife and said, bring me my red dress shirt, will you? She said, absolutely. And then she got here and she said, and you're going to wear that ugly tie with that red? So, yes, my wife does dress me. So y'all blame it on her. So glad to see you all. Okay, all right, not today. She gets a bye week today. So glad to see you all this morning. Welcome to our visitors here today as well. Good to see you. Good to see y'all returning back with us too, brother. Glad to have you back with us this morning, my friend. So we here at the River, we don't do memberships. Like nobody stands up and takes an oath and that kind of stuff. We don't do that. We say that after you visit three times, you're family. So, brother man, I'm just going to go ahead and warn you. One more time and you're in the family. And you know what? Sometimes you just can't get rid of family, and that's the way that works. So, but I want to see you next week for number three, my friend, okay? Glad to have y'all back here. But anyway, I got a little word for you this morning. If you got your Bibles, let's open up. We're going to go into 2 Peter today. I was talking with Brother Sean back there. Sean, thank you so much for all you do for us as well and our security, my friend. He was talking about, I think he said we got about 9 kids back in the nursery back there. We got at least 2 or 3, 4, 3, 4, 5 or so more. They keep multiplying. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad about that. I saw John, don't be telling any stories on me. I saw John and Stacy at the water park yesterday. Don't be talking about how I almost drowned or anything like that either. But I had that little Jeremiah swimming in that water. That was the cutest little thing. He's going back and forth. He was having a good old time, wasn't he? Let me tell you, family is the most precious thing you can have. And I'm going to say something else to you. The blood of Jesus' family is stronger and better than any other family that I have. And I'm going to tell you, there are people in this world today that, you know, I don't know about you, but I've been written off by a couple of them. A couple of them even say that they're kin to me. Well, they probably don't say it anymore, but they used to say that they're related to me. But you know what? I find God is a God of acceptance and restoration. Our mission here will always be the same. It's to love the people through the power of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Mays founded that when God sent him here 28 years ago to start this church up on the hill. It will always remain the same, but our vision for our church is a church where all are loved, freedom is found, and lives are transformed. And I was speaking with him yesterday. We were talking, and he said he woke up in the morning and God had laid something on his heart and said, I believe that the church is going to be a church of transformation and restoration. And I told him, absolutely. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that's what the ministry that God has called myself and my wife into. And it's because I've lived in the gutters. That's all right. Brady can preach on with me. It's okay. I've lived in the gutters. I've been in the cesspools and have wallowed in it. And just like the prodigal son, that I would eat with pigs rather than try to return back. But then, hallelujah, but God. Jesus touched me and transformed me. And I'm going to tell you, if you've known me for any period of time, I would say longer than 10 years, and my family that's here would agree with me, that the Mike Holmes that they knew then is not the same Mike Holmes that they know today. And it's got nothing to do with me. It's got to do with the power that lives inside of me, the fact that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and that he's a God of redemption and restoration. So I'm going to tell you, moving forward, that is our mission here, is I want people to come into our church here, and they learn, they're loved on when they come in. We have the most lovingest church I've ever seen. And that they find freedom here, and they find freedom through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then through that power, they are transformed to never be the same as they once were. Now that's the message. That's the true message of the gospel. That's the good news. I don't know about you, but I've got my life insurance policy, but I like to live victoriously in life. Today, I want to talk a little bit about this. If I was going to give today's message a title, I would say, you need to act like it. A lot of times, Christians, we have a title, we got a name. On Wednesday nights, we wear a little name badge. You come in for Celebrate Recovery. It says, my name is whatever. And you wear a little name tag. It's what people call you. But you know, we have a name tag of self-professing Christians that we wear for others to see. We say Christian, it ought to be written all over us, but you know we need to act like what we're saying we are. We just can't get by with just having a name tag on. Because you know what they say? You're misrepresenting if you don't act like what you're stating you are. I know people like that. We call them hypocrites. That's what's happening in the world today. There was a period of time in the church history where people defied God and they walked away from church because there were churches full of hypocrites. People who sat in pews and judged others when they walked in the door. I remember those days. I was told a story one time here in town. Am I telling too many stories before we even get going? I remember a time, a pastor was telling me a story that there's a church, and I'm not going to name the name of the church, so don't ask me after service either. I'm not going to do it. But there was a church here and had a person walk in. They were a visitor that walked in this church. It's here in Portland. Walked into the church, came in, moved their way up to the front of the pews there and sat down and had service. And at the end of the service, one of the ushers went up to that person and told him, said, listen, next time you come in here, you need to make sure you got a tie on when you walk into this church. That person never walked back into that church. I don't blame them. They should have ran as fast as they possibly could, because I'm going to tell you, they already ran God out of there. They might as well run the people out with them. We'll never be that church. I don't care how you come in here. Tattooed up, pierced up, shorts, t-shirt, stinking, smelling, drunk, high. I don't care. I want you to come in here and get set free. But it's our job to love on them when they come in. It's our job not to just wear a name tag. It's our job to fulfill the self-proclaimed identity that we are saying we are. So if we're a Christian, we ought to love on them just the same as if they wrote a $500,000 check and put it in the church. You love on them just as much as if they ask you for $5 for a Big Mac meal. If we'll start walking that out, I'm telling you, you know, people will be attracted to it. It's called the law of attraction. People who love people attract people who need love. That's the way it works. And then when they come in and they find out what kind of love Jesus really has to offer, they get a hold of it, they start transforming, they become something new, and you know what happens then? They start going out and telling other people about it. They get all those other people attracted to what they got, and they say, I want to come with you where you are being set free. I don't know about you, but I want to act like it. Let me go ahead and warn y'all, if I step on your toes today, mine were bloody before I even got here. Don't be a self-professing Christian and then get on Facebook and air all your dirty laundry. I'm just going to tell you. You know what? It makes you look like a hypocrite. You can't say God is good all the time and then gripe about every little thing that happens to you all day long. Y'all could run me out of here, I reckon. No, it's okay. I expected a holy hush. But I'm telling you something I've been through and done. I got revelation of it. I got knowledge of it. What I speak is what is going to come back to me. I'm putting it out there, and if I'm not careful, it's going to return like a boomerang and hit me right smack in the head. So you know what I start speaking? I'm blessed and highly favored. Used to love John Davidson saying that. That's right. You ask John, how you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. How many of you are blessed and highly favored? Then we need to act like it. We need to start walking the walk, not just talking the talk. But over in, y'all ready to get started now? We'll get started here. We need to be partakers of his divine nature. In 2 Peter, let me see if I got some water down here. Oh, yeah. Who put that up. Bree, would you put that up there for me? Bree, you're such a sweetheart. She brought me a chicken biscuit this morning. I'm just going, that was really nice. I'm telling you. You acting like it, Bree. You acting like it. You walking it out. Let's go into 2 Peter. I'd heard this this teaching years ago when I first got hooked up with the Holy Ghost. How many of you hooked up with the Holy Ghost? All right, good, good. We got some jumping, shouting. You got your shouting shoes on today? All right. When I first heard this teaching, I heard it from Andrew Womack. Who's ever heard of Andrew Womack? So now, Andrew Womack is not a shouting, jumping, hooping, hollering kind of teacher. He is just a word teacher. He just lays it out, and he's very, very, very straight across here. And it was kind of unique because, you know, I got filled with the Holy Ghost under Pastor Herb. You understand what I'm saying? The man jumped up on chairs, and it wasn't nothing boring in this church. And it was always exciting. And so I had heard, you know, the message from him. But when I started hearing it from Andrew Womack, I said, now, wait a second. Hold on. What is this all about? But I'm going to tell you something. When I started studying it afterwards, this scriptures right here, this paragraph of scriptures changed me forever. And I want it to change you forever. So let's go. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 2 through 4. And I'm going to read them out loud. Matter of fact, let's pray. Let's bow our head. Lord, Father, God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these people, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for every promise that you've given us, God. Holy Spirit, I yield to you today. We yield the sanctuary to you. The service is your service, not ours. Have your way. Let somebody walk out of here different, Lord, transformed. Different than they came in today. I thank you for it, and I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given. Everybody say given. Yes. My Bible is underlined. If you're taking notes or got a little marker there, I want you to underline that, given. Has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. By which we have been, say it, given. Say it again. Given. By which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers. Everybody say partakers. Amen. Of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now listen to me. We're not just saved to survive. We are saved to partake in something that is wonderful, beautiful, and powerful. So anybody who tells you that that's all there was to it, that once you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's it, good luck, have at it, tell them, go right here into this scripture and you tell them you are absolutely incorrect. They need to start acting like a born-again Christian. God tells us right here, he says, number one, you need to know that this message is going to reveal to you that you are a spirit-filled, power-driven, and promise-grounded individual. How many of you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Raise your hands. Amen. Yeah, go on. Put them up. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. I found this real complicated for me when I started coming here. I didn't understand this whole baptism of the Holy Spirit thing. I thought, now this is kind of weird. And of course, I got on YouTube, and you can see everything on YouTube. There were people rolling from wall to wall, man. They were down on the floor just flopping. I said, I'm too fat to be rolling like that in the church. That ain't going to happen. And then I saw somebody else coming around. And they're doing this kind of. I was like, man, this is like Indian dancing or something like this. This is crazy. And I started picking apart everything that was on it. I didn't understand. And I said, you know what? I don't want nothing to do with this Holy Ghost thing if that's what this is all about. And I misjudged it, misread it, and then I actually started talking against it. I was watching. How many of you know Kenneth Hagin? Watching Kenneth Hagin in a YouTube video, and he had this big, it was one of his camp meetings, and had a big auditorium, and he would just come up, and he would just put his hand like this, and be blessed. And when he'd do that, boy, everybody, just like a chain of event, and they'd go over here, and he said, be blessed, and all these people, all these people laid out, and I started mocking it, and I'm calling people into my office, and look at this foolery, and I'm going to this church now. Don't get me wrong, because remember, I thought Pastor Mays was a nut. I told him, he knows this to this day. And so I'm talking all against this stuff, having people come in and witness all this and everything. I'm making fun of it. A couple weeks later, I'm sitting up at church up here. Sitting right about where Miss Peggy was. That's exactly right. And right up in front of me is Roger Teague is sitting up here. Billy Wilkes is sitting up here. And they start laughing and giggling. And I remember sitting behind them. I'm thinking, these fools. But look at how disruptive they're being in this church service. And all of a sudden, right behind them, I start feeling this thing coming up in my belly. And it wasn't indigestion. And I said, what in the... And all of a sudden, I started giggling, chuckling a little bit. I was like, oh, what in the world is this about? I started laughing a little bit harder. And pastor is preaching. I don't remember what he's preaching on. But he comes down. I was so disruptive that he stopped the message he was at and started coming down toward me. Well, I got up and was like, I'm getting out of here. And I start backing down this aisleway right here. And he starts walking towards me. And I'm apologizing to him as I'm laughing. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to interrupt your service. I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to be rude or anything. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And about that time, I don't think he laid hands on me. But about that time, I got right back here, and it felt like a bolt of lightning went right through me, and I hit the ground. I don't think he ever laid hands on me. I don't know. He didn't? I didn't think he did. See, nobody got to touch you for you to get touched by God. You get healed sitting right here in the sanctuary, not even being prayed for. God will do whatever he wants to do if you're willing to accept it. Because you know what? I was mocking all that stuff, but I want you to know I was seeking the truth. That was the difference. See, I wasn't putting up barriers and saying, I don't want anything to do with it. I was thinking, this just can't be true. And God wanted to illuminate to me what it actually was to be filled with the Holy Ghost and have the power and the evidence of speaking in tongues with it and being able to talk to the weather and being able to pray for the sick and walk and proclaim the gospel boldly. If you got nothing else out of being filled with the Holy Ghost, the fact that you can tell Jew people about Jesus is the greatest gift you'll ever receive out of it. I'd rather do that than anything else because I want people to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But listen to me. My wife carried me home, laying in that bed, woke up the next day. I remember sitting there going, what in the world was that all about? That is insane. That's crazy. What has happened? Man, I couldn't drive home. No, I couldn't drive. My wife had to drive me home. And she don't drive me nowhere. I'm just going to tell you that. Not that she's a bad driver. Just deer hit her all the time. Just for some reason. She's got a magnet on there. But so I drive everywhere. So when my wife drives me home, you know it's pretty serious. I remember laying there. I just kept thinking, God, I don't understand. What was that about? What was that about? Here's what he said to me. He said, don't mock what you don't understand. And I said, okay, Lord, all right. And all of a sudden, that video popped up in my mind where I was mocking all that from Kenneth Hagin. And so from that day, I made this declaration. I said, all right, Lord, here's the agreement. Here's the covenant I want to go into with you. If it's real, I want it. If it's of you, I want it all. But if it's not, protect me from it. And from that day forward, things started happening in my life. And that day forward, I started talking to the weather, and the weather would change. Now, it doesn't happen all the time. I don't have 100% success rate. But I'm telling you, I was talking to that weather last night. You ain't going to shut me up. I'm going to tell you what else. I talk to my wallet all the time. You ain't going to shut it up. I talk to my family all the time. I've been calling in my family for a long, long time. You ain't going to shut me up. When God gets a hold of you and you are transformed and you understand what you've been given, you can't shut up. God has already given you everything you need. In verse 3, he says that. He says, his divine power has given to us all things. Given. Y'all understand what that is? That's past tense. Not will give, not can give. If you've been born again, you've got it all. Well, somebody ought to give God a shout of praise there. Because what's happening here, some of you are operating in lack, but you already got the means to not be in lack. Some of you are operating and unforgiveness, but you got the means to forgive. Some of you are operating in guilt and shame, but I'm telling you right now, you've already been given the power to overcome the devil and tell those demon spirits right back where they could go to. You don't think that I get bad thoughts? Bad thoughts try to creep into my head. They fly all over here, but I don't let them nest down. Before they even get close enough, in the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, leave me now. And then what I say is, Lord, fill me up with something better than what I was thinking. Because if you're just going to cast out and never fill up, let me tell you something, you're headed to a bad place to be. So when you are emptying out the world and the devil, you need to be filling yourself up with God. His divine power is always already given you. Everything that you need is there. When you came to Christ, you didn't get just a portion. You didn't get a piece. You got the whole person of the Holy Ghost. All of him. He's not on like some kind of a payment plan, where as though you go along, you get more and more. You got him all. He's in you, every bit of it. All the power that he has with it is inside of you. It's time to begin to walk in the authority and the provision that's already there. Let me give you an example. Y'all ready to go home yet? I said I was tired. I've been moving. I'm tired, but I'm preaching anyway. If I can hang, y'all can hang. Amen? I was up at 3 o'clock this morning. I was up praying. I got here to this church at 5 o'clock this morning, hit this altar, and started praying for you at 5 o'clock this morning. You know why? Because somebody's going to walk out of here differently than they walked in here today. Amen. Somebody's going to understand what it is that they have, and they're going to be able to operate in it from today. But let me tell you, it's like a person who's starving who's standing by a buffet. Blake, you ever been hungry? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You and me both, brother. It'd be like going into the, and we ain't got them anymore, but the Ponderosa's, didn't Ponderosa used to have that buffet thing? You remember that? There was a Ryan's that was up there in Bowling Green we used to go to, and they had that big old buffet there, right? And it's like walking into there, but here's what's up. You're behind me in line. I go ahead and pay for your ticket for your meal. You come on in but don't know that you have access to the food that's there. That's what it's like. So now you hungry, you starving, all that food is laid out there for you. You can have all of it, but you ain't partaking of it because you don't understand that it's yours to take. Help yourself to what Jesus has already prepared for you. Everything's already been given to you. Start using it. Get up to the buffet line. Get your plate. And it ain't a one-time visit. You can come back for more and more and more and more. And we need to start doing that. You know why? Because just because you overcame it once doesn't mean it ain't going to come back again. The devil will keep trying to attack you in your most vulnerable place. You have the authority. Start walking in it, start accessing in it, start operating in it, knowing that it's yours and you've already got everything that you need. The second thing, your access comes through knowledge. Now look right here. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. You want grace? You know what grace is? Receiving something that you don't deserve. I told y'all a few weeks back about a guy blessing us. Now, I'm not going to preach on this long, but I want you to understand something. I had somebody financially bless me and my wife, bless our family. Doesn't come to church here. I've already laid all this out. If you missed that, come back more often. I didn't deserve what he gave. It was grace. He gave it to me, even though I didn't deserve it. Do you want to know how to multiply your grace? It's in the knowledge of God. Do you want to know how to multiply your peace? You want to have more peace in your home and in your life? It's through the knowledge of God. And I don't mean just picking up a little book. It's like you can't read about George Washington and then know everything about George Washington. You know some about him, but you ain't got a relationship with him. What I'm telling you, this knowledge is a relationship knowledge that you get with God. More than you just opening up the book and reading a few chapters or having your morning little devotion thing. I'm talking about, are you spending time with the Lord daily? How do you do that? I'm glad you asked. Every day, all day long. My wife says, 1,500 times a day. because I'm talking out loud and she thinks I'm saying something to her. What? What'd you say? And then she got used to it now. Oh, never mind. Lord, thank you. God, man, I love you. Moving that situation for them. Oh, man, that's so beautiful. God, thank you for showing me that today. Lord, I love you. Oh, God, I thank you for Josh. Lord, I thank you, Lord. All day long, I'm talking to him. All day long, I'm giving him praise. All day long, I'm growing my relationship with him. And you know what happens? It's like an internet hookup link. And I got high-speed data now. I used to be on AOL. Had to wait forever to get something downloaded. Let me tell you something. I got the fiber net now. When I start going up like this, he starts downloading like this. And all of a sudden, buddy, I'm telling you, it'll just be revelation after revelation after revelation. And sometimes it hurts. And you say, oh, Lord, I repent of it, God. Oh, purge it out of me, Lord. I know it's not holy. I see this, God. Thank you for it. And then there's other times when he's picking me up and saying, don't listen to what they're saying. I got you. I'm with you. I'm every step of the way. Don't you know something? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm here for you. You're the head. You're not the tail. I'm telling you right. Greater am I that's in you than he that's in the world. That's what God is telling me when he's downloading to me. It's a relationship base. And all of a sudden, my peace starts settling. It don't matter what George said about me last week. George don't ever say nothing bad about me that I know of. And so, I'm just kidding. It doesn't matter when you start hooking up with God and you start seeing these things, you start operating in that knowledge, and then through that knowledge is where all the access comes from. You don't have to chase the blessings anymore. The blessings will start to chase you because you're chasing God. Ooh, I need to say that again for somebody. Stop chasing blessings and chase God. When you chase God, your blessings will come. But when you start chasing the blessings and not God, they're going to be empty blessings to you. It'll be false. It's called false prosperity, false love, false peace, false everything else, because you're not finding it in Christ. You're finding it in somebody or something else. It's the greatest relationship advice I could tell anybody. If you will seek God first in your relationship, your personal relationship with your spouse, your friendship, whatever it may be, will be at its strongest, and it'll grow because God is in the middle of it. Seek him first in all that you do with that. And then all these things shall be added unto you. Amen? We need to get up and run around the church here. Y'all awake? Let me see what time it is here. Yeah, I got another 45 minutes. We're good. I told y'all bring Nabisco crackers to church. I told you it'd be fine. I'll hand out waters if we need to, too. Amen? We haven't run off half the church yet. All right, moving on. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us, everybody say exceedingly great and precious promises. How many of you like to receive promises? More so than that, how do you like it when somebody promises something and then actually does it? That's even better, isn't it? I've known people to promise me the world. Oh, I'm going to get you there. I'm going to tell another story, y'all, okay? I got this job one time. I sat down in the interview and sitting across from this HR lady. We were talking about the job. She starts promising all kinds of stuff. Oh, you're going to get 2 weeks paid vacation. You're going to get 2 weeks of sick leave. And, oh, we're going to pay you this. And, oh, we got the greatest benefits in the world. And, oh, you're going to love your boss. Lie. And you're going to... I'm telling you, and she painted this wonderful picture of promises for me. So where I said, absolutely, let me sign on the dotted line. I signed on the dotted line, and it was like the devil himself came in and said, all right, you're mine now. I walked in there. Every promise was empty. That paycheck wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Kentucky took all my money out in taxes up there. It was brutal. But do you know when God promises you something, it's exactly like he says it is? He cannot lie. He cannot lie. See, you need to understand that when you start to participate in the divine nature there, that things start happening for us and our lives are transformed. We're not just forgiven. We become transformed individuals. That's what he promised us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So we are a new creation in Christ. How many of you are glad you're not who you used to be? I'm in good company then. I'm in good company. God's divine nature now lives in us, lives in you. The Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, he's in you. All of that goodness, everything else that's there, don't settle for being carnal or living a lukewarm life anymore. I'm grateful I got peace in my house. Not everything's easy, is it, honey? My poor wife, I put her through so much in our life. She stuck with me through thick and thin. And I'm going to tell you exactly how it works in my household. God is number one. My wife is number two. And they're not too far apart. And I'm grateful because we didn't have peace in our life. I wasn't a peaceful person. But through understanding that as I grew in my knowledge to God, as I grew closer to him, my life started being transformed. I became transformed. And when I became transformed, I became a much more peaceful person. Those anger issues that I had started to dissipate. I was mad at the world and everybody in it. Mad at God, mad at my family, mad at any and everybody, and found reasons to hate you. And now all I want to do is love you. I want you to know what I know, which is that through the transforming power of the Holy Ghost inside of you, you can walk in authority and in victory in life. When we'll start to operate like that, when we understand that every promise that God makes to us is a spiritual contract that he can't break, well, you can start taking it to the bank. Y'all stand with me this morning. I'm going to ask the ushers to come up here. And a few years back, I got a hold of something for me. And when I was going through life and situations arose, I used to just pray and I would say, oh, God, just help me. Oh, Lord, just help me. And you know what? A lot of the times I didn't feel like I got the help that I was praying for because I had already gotten it and didn't operate in it. Jesus had done all that he was going to do. He already died on the cross for me. He's already risen. He's already back up in heaven. I've been given all the authority and the promises already. I just didn't realize that that's how it worked. I thought I had to beg and grovel to God to please help me in some way. And then when it didn't happen, I got discouraged in it. But a smart man, a spirit-filled man by the name of Pastor Herbert Mays told me, he said, what you need is scripture. You don't need more prayer asking. You need to stand on what you've already got. And so when things started coming my way, I went into the Bible and I started looking up promises. And I found a promise that pertained to my situation. And if it was that I needed more peace in my life, then I found me a scripture, a promise for peace. If I needed prosperity, I found me a scripture of prosperity. If I needed to have wisdom to make better decisions, I looked for a scripture that had wisdom in it. And then you know what I did? I wrote it down, I took it out of the Bible, and I meditated on it day and night. And I started standing on the contract of the promise that God gave me. And you know what happened? It worked. You know why it worked? Because he's God. So this morning, I've written down a few. There are hundreds of promises in the Bible. Hundreds of them. I've got a small sampling here. But I want you to know something. I want to give you one. If you'd like one, let me give you a couple examples here. Exodus 14:14, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Oh, do you know a lamp doesn't have to work to show light? I want you to think about this now. If I plug the lamp in the light socket, the electricity is already running through it. He doesn't have to work harder. He just has to flip the switch. So you got the Holy Ghost inside of you. Some of you have been fighting and struggling, and you don't need to fight and struggle. You just need to flip the switch. You need to let the Holy Ghost start flowing through you and start illuminating whatever the room needs and start changing the atmosphere that you're in. Here's another one. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. How many of you had a need that needs to be met? How about this one? James 1:5, if any of you lacks in wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Sometimes we need to make some better decisions in life, don't we? How about this one? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You understand it doesn't matter what you did yesterday, last night, 5 minutes ago, what you did before you walked in these doors today, there's a promise for you in here. I'm going to ask the ushers, if you'd like to have one of these, I want you to raise your hands right where you're at. If y'all would pass these out. Give one per family there for me. And here's what I want to challenge you with out of these today. How many of you in here are going through something or needing a touch from God? How many of you could use a little something from the Holy Ghost today? Well, my challenge to you is real simple. This week, whatever it may be, I want you to find your promise in the Bible. And just like I did, you take it out of there and you write it down. You put it on your refrigerator door. You put it on the mirror to your bathroom. You put it on wherever you need to. I saw Pat post something this morning. I got on Facebook for the first time in forever. Saw Pat up there put a note from Kathy that says, I love you. Now, right beside that needs to be his sticker there of whatever God needs to do for him or going to do for him. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. The first promise God ever made to you was that if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that he will save you, that he will transform you and make you into a new creation today, that all old things will be passed away, and behold, you'll be made new. If there's anybody here who's never made that decision, I want to give you that opportunity to do so today. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at this morning. Say, Lord,